Very good evening, Ajahn Brahm. Good evening, brothers and sisters in the Dharma. It is our honor to have invited Ajahn Brahmavamsa, or more formally known as Ajahn Brahm, to conduct a 3-day retreat in Mahindrama Buddhist Temple, which Ajahn regards as a 5-star retreat center or retreat temple. Today is the final day of the Dharma talk. Tonight is the final day for the Dharma talk. Tomorrow there will not be any talk. And for those of you who are not too familiar with Ajahn Brahm, please allow me to give a brief introduction about Ajahn. Ajahn Brahm was born in London in 1951. He regarded himself a Buddhist at the age of 17 through his reading of Buddhist books while still at school. His interest in Buddhism and meditation flourished while studying theoretical physics at the Cambridge University. After completing his degree and teaching for a year, Ajahn travelled to Thailand to become a monk. He was ordained in Bangkok at the age of 23 by the abbot of Wat Sakhi. He subsequently spent 9 years studying and training in forest meditation tradition of the Venerable Ajahn Chah. In 1983, he was asked to assist in the establishing of forest monastery near Perth, Western Australia. Ajahn Brahm is now the abbot of Bodhiyana Monastery and the spiritual director of the Buddhist Society of Western Australia. He is also the spiritual patron of the Buddhist Fellowship in Singapore. Brothers and sisters in the Dharma, mindfulness is something which is very deep, and to many of us, we are always thinking that our monkey mind keep on floating and keep on wandering. And tonight's Dharma talk, Ajahn will be enlightening us on the topic, mindfulness is more than we think.
Thank you very much. And welcome to this second talk, and the last talk, unfortunately, for this year. But the year goes on, and soon I'll be back here again, giving more talks. But today is going to be a big talk, only here for a couple of days. So really talk about some really interesting things. Many of you who've been associated with Buddhism for a while know that a part of Buddhism which is becoming increasingly popular in the, especially the scientific world, is mindfulness. And first of all, you should know that the Buddha invented mindfulness. The Buddha, he was the first person to really get into deep meditation. So as I think I said this afternoon to some of the yogis, really, the Buddha should have got a patent out on mindfulness and meditation. But nevertheless, we always keep these things for free. But these days, that mindfulness is such a huge thing. If anyone is a psychologist, you would have heard about mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, which is used in many areas of life, especially people with psychiatric or psychological disorders. There's mindfulness-based programs to lessen children's attention deficit disorder. People practice mindfulness in so many different areas that if you really wanted to find out how popular it is, you can just get on the internet and Google in mindfulness, and you'll have heaps and heaps and heaps of information. Scientific paper after paper after paper. There are now professors of mindfulness. However, sometimes professors aren't so wise. And sometimes they misunderstand what mindfulness truly is. And so because of that, there certainly is an effect from this mindfulness-based cognitive therapy and from mindfulness-based practices, and the scientific evidence is there. But really, mindfulness is even more than they think. The first story I'm going to mention today, and this will develop into understanding what mindfulness is fully, was of Professor Philip Golden of Stanford University in the United States, a professor of clinical psychology. And I was at a conference with him a year or two ago, and he was presenting the conclusions from his extensive research on mindfulness and how it helps families with any problems, children with problems, all sorts of people with problems. And that's, he's a professor of mindfulness at Stanford. And he did one particular experiment, which he told us about, which was a very interesting experiment. He chose a number of students, a great number of students, for this experiment, and he gave them credits. In other words, if you participate in this experiment, you got credits towards your degree. And he split the students into two groups, so that he could actually test one group against the other group. The first group, he taught a mindfulness-based retreat for one day. And then he tested how relaxed and peaceful they had become after one day. And the other group, the control group, they sent to a spa in California for the day, where you get back massage, foot massage, you know, hot baths, saunas, to relax in a spa. He wanted to find out which makes you more relaxed, doing a meditation day or going to the spa. And after the students returned, it was very clear what the results were. All of those students who went to the spa were far more relaxed. And I thought, what type of meditation are you teaching these guys? And of course, some of you people might know that type of meditation. The very hard, forceful, controlling, forcing mindfulness. Sometimes we call it even vipassana. That is too tough. That never gets you relaxed. And his information was actually proving that. So what actually is mindfulness? Mindfulness is not just being aware. It's actually how you are aware. Now that is the most important part of mindfulness. It's not just being aware. It's just being aware and being kind and being relaxed. That is what really works. So mindfulness has to come first. In other words, we're aware of something happening. We're aware of a particular part of our body or of the world. So we do have practices in Buddhism for increasing your awareness. In other words, learning how to focus on something for long enough, you really become aware of it, rather than it just passing you by. In order to know what I mean by awareness here, I give a standard story, and it's a story not from the text, but from my own experience. And I think I tell this story every year when I come to Penang, so those of you who have heard it before, never mind, because it is a very deep and profound simile. And it's a simile of where I live in Australia. I live in a monastery just south of Perth on top of a hill. And that monastery celebrated its 25th birthday earlier this month. So 25 years I've been there from the very beginning. And for the first 9 years, or maybe, so maybe about the first 6, 7, 8, 9 years, I don't know exactly how many, but for a long time, every time I went to that monastery or left that monastery was in a vehicle, in a car. But one day after 9 years, I decided it was a beautiful spring morning, I had plenty of time, and I needed the exercise anyway. I thought, I won't be driven up that hillside to the monastery. I thought, today, I asked the driver to please let me out at the bottom of the hill. The monastery was on top of a hill, about 2 and a bit kilometres from the bottom to the top of the hill. Let me out at the bottom of the hill and I'll walk up to see, you know, the hillside and to enjoy the morning and have some exercise as well. And that was the first time I actually walked up that hillside after living in that monastery for about 9 years. And a strange thing happened when I started walking along that road, which I thought I knew so well. Maybe 2 or 3 times every week, I'd leave that monastery for some appointment or some engagement. Up and down, I'd been going up that hill for 9 years. And now for the first time, I walked up that hill. And as I started walking and looking around me, I was so surprised that I did not recognize my surroundings at all. The hillside looked totally different than anything I could remember. I was literally seeing that hillside for the first time. I saw trees and rocks and bushes and flowers, which I'd never seen before. And that really shocked me. How come I hadn't noticed these things before, when I've been living in this place for 9 years, going up and down in a car? It was such a surprising experience that I stopped. I stood still and looked again. And when I was still, I was surprised once more that I started to see more detail. More tiny rocks and little bushes and little lichen on those rocks and little growths on the trees. When I stood still, I saw so much more. And another surprising thing, as I stood still, what I saw looked ever more beautiful. In fact, that hillside was so beautiful, I realized I never appreciated it before. Even the colors were richer and deeper than I could ever remember. And it was such a strange experience. Now, having gone up and down that hillside for 9 years, and now seeing all these amazing, beautiful things, but I had to reflect, why is this happening? What's going on? And being a scientist before, a physicist, I used my knowledge of science to know exactly what was going on, which was this. When you're traveling in a car and you look out of the window, the image of what's outside hits the back of your eye, the retina, and forms an image. However, because you're traveling in a car which is going fast, before that image has a time to properly form on the back of your eye, it's dislodged and another image takes its place, and then another image, and then another image. Because you're traveling fast, your eye does not have enough time to form a complete picture before it's washed away and another image takes its place, which means that you don't have time to see all of the detail there. However, instead of looking through the window of a car, when I started walking, my eyes had more time. So the image actually had more time to form. You saw more detail of the trees and the grass. Instead of just a swathe of green, you could start to see individual blades. And when I actually stopped, that was the only time my eye had all the time it needed to form a full picture. In other words, all the details began to become apparent. And not only that, the colors were now full. Before, everything was like pastel, washed out. The colors weren't deep or rich or interesting. But because I was going slowly, the color fully formed. It was literally the difference between seeing an old black and white TV and seeing things in full color, and then going to high definition TV, where everything is amazing, it's like alive. I only seen high HD TV once in my life at an art exhibition, and it was amazing. It was state of the art, high definition television. And you looked at this picture of a man, and you had to look twice to see, was that a real man standing there, or was it just the screen? So if you've ever seen the latest HD TV, it's amazing. Now this is actually the amazing thing which happens when I went still. I could actually see more, and what I saw was more beautiful. Now that gives you an understanding what we mean by mindfulness and why a lot of people aren't mindful. Because most of us live our life as if looking through the window of a speeding car, which is our body and mind. We're speeding around so much. And when we look out through our life, speeding backwards and forwards, we really think that we can see all the details out there, but we miss so much. Not only that, you miss so much beauty, so much richness of color and texture in life when we go too fast. Literally, when you're going too fast, your mindfulness becomes very weak.